Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Game on. European football.
It's time for Bridge to see what chances Chelsea have against Bayern Munich tonight. Ray, how are you?
Yeah, very good, Ruby. No Nutella here, I can assure you. We're all right. No failure here tonight.
Did you get any pancakes, Ray?
Yeah, no, I didn't, but I'll be wondering and listening in to how many Rubies I had today.
Yeah.
I could have a guess myself.
Go on,
I think
Ray,
there'll be a fair few there.
We'll put you in the competition, Ray. So we will. Big night for Chelsea tonight, Ray. Bayern are obviously short enough price favourites. Coming here off the back of winning two of their last three. Chelsea have only won one of their last three. What way do you see it going?
Yeah, that's a great point, Ribby. You just have to have a look at the form of both the teams coming into this game. Bayern Munich have been sensational in the last few weeks. If you go from the start of the year, I think they've scored something like 23 goals in seven games. They've only conceded seven. I think they've won six of them and drawn one, whereas Chelsea have been very inconsistent. You know, lost to Manchester United, then they beat Tottenham at the weekend, and a good win. It was a good win for them, played reasonably well. The manager's been changing things around systems and personnel. Be interesting to see what his tactics are tonight, taking on this Bayern Munich side. But you heard from Frank, he's been talking about Robert Lewandowski and what he's like and what he brings for Bayern Munich when that's goals. You know, in the group stage of the Champions League, he got 10 goals in the five matches that he played. So he's been in great form this season, not just in the Champions League, but in the league as well. He's got 25 goals, I think, league goals in 23 games. So it just shows you how clinical he's been.
For all their brilliance going forward, Bayern can be a little bit shaky at the back, so that's a positive for Chelsea.
Well, it could be, Marie. You know, but they have to, Frank's been saying in the build-up to this, look, we've been watching DVDs of Bayern Munich's performances of late, and we're trying to find a weakness. We've got to find an area that we can capitalise on. So it'll be interesting to see what they do tactically tonight as well with the system it employed. Against Tottenham, he played three at the back and four across the middle, then two just ahead of him with Giroud as the lone striker. Will he do that tonight? I'd be interested to see what the formations for both teams are going to be. But there's no doubt, as the home team, you've got to be the aggressors. You know, the Chelsea public will be expecting that tonight, not to sit back, to try and take the game to Bayern as best they can. But at the same time, make sure you're disciplined defensively and you don't give anything away.
Ray, in the Bundesliga, Bayern have won 7, drawn 2 and lost 2 away from home and scored 29 goals. They are a fair team on the road.
Yeah, they are, Ruby. I mean, listen, there's a fair team. Just it doesn't matter if they're home or away. You know, even in the Champions League, they won all three away games as well in the group stage. So they've been sensational, I think. After a slow start, the manager had to leave in November. A new coach came in, or his assistant took over on an interim basis till the end of the season. But the players have just responded, regardless who he brings in. You know, they're all playing very well. Competition for places is exactly what you want. I mean, tonight, Gnabry, who's got 10 league goals this season. He's done that for the last four seasons with different teams in Germany. He's been in great form. Likewise, we've talked about Lewandowski. You've got Coutinho and what he can bring. You know, he's a fantastic footballer, great awareness, great vision. But they're an all-round team, you know, all over the park. Neuer, you know, a world-class goalkeeper. So there is, you know, strength and depth in this Bayern Munich team, and they're coming here supremely confident. I can't see them sitting back. You know, I can't see them just, you know, trying to see what Chelsea's got to offer and just sit in defensive positions. This type of side that Bayern have got now is very much an attack-minded team, and I expect them to take the game to Chelsea whenever they can.
Ray, just on that, and Ruby's point as well, they're obviously a team that are looking to kind of, like everyone, go on and win it, but they have the credentials to do it. They'll have no fear of English opposition, will they? Like, 7-2 hammering of Spurs, they'll go there to, like you're saying, go out and all-out attack.
Yeah, I think that's their best form of defence is attack, Donnacker. I think that's the way that they look at it. You know, they've not been a side so far in the group stages or in the league this season that sat back. You know, they're not looking to play at a nil-all draw, which probably, I mean, that would probably suit Chelsea as being the home team. You know, one of the things they'll be thinking is make sure they don't concede. If they don't concede, you know, you go to that second leg in a few weeks' time and then you get one away goal, puts huge pressure on the home side, that's for sure. And don't forget with Chelsea, you know, they're in transition at the moment, but it's a big month for them. This, the next few weeks that they've got coming up, obviously this two-legged affair, where they are in the league, they're currently fourth in the Premier League, but there's so many teams that are so close to them, Concertina together, who, if they slip up, there'll be others, the likes of Manchester United, United, Sheffield United's there, Wolves, Tottenham, Arsenal. They're all ready to overtake Chelsea. And they've also got Liverpool in the FA Cup as well. So it's a massive 4 weeks coming up for Chelsea, and it will show you where they are as a team and, you know, what they might have to play for, if anything, come the next few matches that they've got.
And Ray, when you think of the big calls that have to be made just from a selection point of view tonight by Frank Lampard, it'll really show where he's at as a manager and if he can cut it at that level.
Well, the other thing is, Mary, he's got a few out, you know, and so he might be a little bit easier to pick the team tonight. So Pulisic is out, Kante's out, Hudson-Odoi's out, they're all out injured, so none of them, I think, have got any chance of playing tonight. So it makes it maybe a little bit easier to select the team. Yeah, I would imagine it's going to be Jorginho and Kovacic who's going to sit in the centre of midfield. And what you call them is continuity players. They just get it nice and simply. They're not what I would say the creators of goals, are not real goal scorers. If you're looking at, you know, what they've done for Chelsea this season, they've not scored an awful lot of goals, but there'll be players further ahead. Does he go with Mount tonight? Barkley played at the weekend against Tottenham and done reasonably well. Does he go with him? There's others coming back. There's Willian, I think Pedro's coming back from injury, so a selection from there. But he's got to just get the team he thinks, Marie, that's going to be best suited to play against the opposition. He's watched them, he knows exactly how Bayern Munich play, he knows the strength to the team, but as I say, he'll be looking for the weaknesses in how his side can penetrate that weakness to turn it an advantage for Chelsea.
But Ray, if Chelsea have only managed to keep one clean sheet in the last six games, they can't get beaten in Stamford Bridge tonight. Whatever about going to Bayern and trying to get something, if they lose tonight, they're going to be fairly up against it.
Oh yeah, probably the tie would be over, Ruby. I think no one would argue against that when we're talking about what Bayern Munich have done recently. But Frank Lampard in the build-up says that all our levels, and he's talking about the whole team, has to be raised. You know, we cannot have anyone underperforming tonight. We've got to be on top of our game. Everyone has to be disciplined defensively. Be interesting to see who plays in goal. Caballero's been in recently. Does he go with Kepa, who's been out the side? Kepa played in all six group stage matches of the Champions League, but the last few league games he's been on the bench. Be interesting to see who he starts in goal, because I think that's usually important tonight with what Bayern Munich can offer as an attacking outfit. But you're right about them defensively. You know, they have to be more disciplined, they have to be more effective in that area of the pitch and give themselves a platform to play from so they can go and create a few opportunities. It's going to be a great game. It's going to be full house in here tonight. The Chelsea fans will be coming in the thousands to support the team, get behind them, and they'll be hoping they can drive them on to get a famous victory. And it will be a famous victory when you look at maybe the transitional period that Chelsea are in comparison to where Bayern Munich are and how they're playing at the moment.
Do they have the defenders to contain those attacking forwards, though?
Well, we've got Rudiger. You've got Azpilicueta. Azpilicueta's a usually experienced player. Rudiger's coming back. He got injured. He's only played in one Champions League game because of the injuries that he had, Marie. And you've also got, you could play Christensen in there. There'll be one or two others that you might be looking maybe change around. Does he go with three at the back? Does he go with a flat back four? Alonso came in against Tottenham. He's been out the team in that left wing back position, scored a goal. So does he hold on to his position tonight? There's a lot of question marks about what Frank's going to do. But as I say, he evaluated the opposition and he'll get the team he thinks best suited to play against them.
Ray, that's great. Of course, that match does kick off tonight at 8 o'clock. And are you on RT1 or 2, Ray?
RTE. Two, I think it is tonight. RT2, yeah.
Not
sorry,
so bad.
Indeed.
Anyone that wants to watch it. Yeah. Thanks a million, Rhett. Cheers.
Thanks, everyone. Thank
everyone,
you.
Take a break. Two FM.
Game on 2FM. With Gillette. New skin guard sensitive with unique skin guard technology, taking the pressure off the blades and your shave. Say bye to shave irritation. Gillette, the best a man can get.
Limerick. Gateway to the wild Atlantic Way.
And home to Europe's finest hotel.
A university with a cool robot librarian.
And an art school where tomorrow's fashion stars will wrap you in outrageous creations.
A short hop from Shannon Airport, calling at major US destinations.
Or stay put with an Irish coffee in the county that invented it.
Limerick, Atlantic Edge.
European embrace.
Discover your Limerick at limerick.ie.
At Centra, our 100% pure Canadian maple syrup from our expertly sourced, inspired by Centra range, adds a little luxury to breakfast time. Glaze over pancakes, oats or freshly sizzled rashers and savour the delicious caramel flavour. Only £3.29 until February 26th. Centra. Live every day.
I've been an electrical apprentice with ESB Networks for 2 years and it's been great. It's a world-class qualification and it's really rewarding. I get to help people. I'm learning so much on the job and I'm working on great teams with experienced network technicians. I love the mix of the indoor and outdoor and the support I get every day. It's definitely been a great career move for me. My name is Megan and I'm an ESB Networks electrical apprentice. Learn how you can become one too at esbnetworks.ie.
This is a public service announcement.
Ambulance emergency, can you confirm your phone number?
My mother's collapsed. She's breathing but not responding.
Okay, what's the address of the emergency?
She's only just moved here. It's near Kilmac.
Don't worry, do you have an air code?
Hang on, it's here beside the phone. It's A65F4E2.
I've got your location now. We'll be with you as soon as possible. I'm going to help you until they arrive.
Providing an air code may help the National Ambulance Service find you faster. Visit the aircode finder at aircode.ie.
Turn it up. What happens next? Happens here. Let's go.
Youth Work Ireland's Irish Youth Music Awards are back.
Saturday, May 9th, Croke Park.
Catch workshops and masterclasses from Ireland's leading industry professionals, including RTE 2FM, BIM Institute Dublin, and loads more.
Check out up-and-coming artists from all over Ireland.
Visit the marketplace and link up with other musicians. This is an all-ages, alcohol-free event. Tickets available now on imas.ie and Eventbrite.
In association with RTE 2FM.
Game On 2FM.
Welcome back to Game On. Tonight's other game in the Champions League does involve, of course, Napoli and Barcelona. And Mark Langdon is going to talk us through that. Mark, there's chat that Diego Maradona is in Naples for tonight's game.
Yeah, that's certainly the rumour that's been going around sort of in the last 10 minutes or so. He wasn't expected to attend, but it wouldn't be the biggest surprise if he did turn up. Of course, people are calling it the sort of Derby della Maradona because, of course, Maradona played for both clubs, Napoli and Barcelona, had the greatest success at Napoli, led them to the title. You know, he's still seen as an absolute hero in Naples. And of course, against that, you've got the backdrop of Messi, the new Maradona, for many people, going to play in the stadium. It's going to be a wonderful occasion, whether Maradona turns up or not, really, because, you know, it's a huge Champions League game for both teams. Gennaro Gattuso's had a bit of a rough time in the league with Napoli, but they've done well in the knockout competitions in the semi-final of the Italian Cup, and Barcelona have managed to get themselves back on top of La Liga. So it promises to be a fantastic occasion, and it will be probably even more special if Maradona does turn up.
It's coming at a good time for Barcelona, really. Setién seems to have settled down after a bit of a shaky start, and Messi is back as well to his goal-scoring best.
Yeah, that's right. 4 goals for Messi against Eibar on Saturday in a 5-0 victory. I thought the first goal was just absolutely brilliant. The kind of goal, really, that we just take for granted now, because Messi has scored so many of those individual goals where he dribbles past defenders and then puts it past the goalkeeper. It was Barcelona, I suppose, back to their best. I still feel like there's more gears to come from them. This is a much tougher game. And I think we've seen in the Champions League, I know Leipzig won at Tottenham, but if you have a look around the other games, home advantage was absolutely massive. You know, Atletico Madrid upset Liverpool. Paris Saint-Germain lost in Dortmund against Borussia. And then even Valencia were absolutely thrashed away to Atalanta in Italy. So I think Barcelona, even though they're better than Napoli, and they're probably in the better form, as you mentioned, with that victory over Eibar, they probably take a goal-scoring draw, I would have thought, from this game.
I know Messi scored 4 at the weekend, but I was reading in the papers today where he's a little bit miffed with Junior Firpo and wants somebody else to replace Jordi Alba, actually a man called Mark Cucurella.
Yeah, I mean, I think what has happened here with Messi, he's actually, he's somebody that hasn't spoken much in the last 10 years, and then he's finally kind of found his tongue because he slammed the sporting director Eric Abidal for all of coming out in the press and saying various stuff. And now, as far as Junior Firpo go, I don't think he's playing particularly well. And Messi had a very special relationship with Jordi Alba. There's no doubt about that. So I think Messi's probably just letting everybody know, and this is probably goes back to what happened with Abidal as well. He is coming towards the end of his contract. I think he's just putting a little bit of pressure around Barcelona to let everybody know, you know, who's the boss of this team. And, you know, Messi sort of putting his opinions out there far more than we've seen at any other stage of his career.
Mark, he's in form, but who do you see coming out on top tonight?
I would edge towards Barcelona, but I would say over the two legs, maybe a draw tonight, because going to Naples, even though some of the Napoli ultras have decided not to turn up to the game in protest against the higher ticket prices, but I still think it will be a very hostile environment for Barcelona. And they, like I mentioned earlier, I think they would probably just take a draw, get them back to the Nou Camp, and then finish the job. So I would edge towards Barcelona, but I would go for a draw, I think, over the 90 minutes tonight.
Both managers, though, they first Champions League night for both of them.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, as far as Gattuso goes, I mean, he's somebody that there isn't that much expectation on him. And, you know, I think he can come into this game with it being his first one. And if they lose, he can kind of just say, well, you know, we're up against Barcelona. Far more spotlight is on Setien, because he was a surprise appointment when he replaced Ernesto Valverde. Valverde was sacked. One of the reasons Valverde was sacked, apart from the style of play, was the fact that his Barcelona team crumbled in difficult away environments in the Champions League. Everybody listening will remember last year what happened to them at Anfield when they let a free goal lead slip against Liverpool and lost 4-0. It had already happened the season before as well against Roma. So this is, I suppose, a big test of Setien. Is he able to get this Barcelona team that can be fragile to play better, more confidently as well away from home? Because they just crumbled in those defeats in Rome and on Merseyside. So they need to be tougher. And you think that this is a team that's got World Cup winners in it. They really shouldn't fold under the pressure like they have done. So that's what I'm looking out for. Can Barcelona kind of tough it out in what should be, I would say, a difficult opening 20 minutes for them?
Mark, on Thursday night, Inter's game against the Bulgarian side, whom I can't pronounce, is going to be played behind closed doors because of the coronavirus.
Yeah, Ludogorets, that game. I mean, Inter are 2-0 up from the first leg, so it shouldn't matter from a sporting point of view that this game is played behind closed doors. But in terms of sort of European countries, I think the crisis in Italy at the moment is bigger than anywhere else. They're up to double figures in deaths now. There's a lot of cities on lockdown. And the Inter game on Thursday against Ludogorets is to be played behind closed doors, as is most of the weekend Serie A fixtures as well. And the biggest game of the season will have no fans watching it inside the stadium. Juventus against Inter, two teams that are going for the title on Sunday night. That game is to be played behind closed doors. They had a lot of postponements in Italy last weekend because of it. They were wondering how they were going to kind of save the season, really, because we're at the stage now where you can't get too many more postponements, because there aren't that many kind of midweek rounds where you can fit the games in if both teams are in Europe, or at least one of the teams are in Europe. So they've decided to play these games behind closed doors. It remains to be seen, I suppose, whether they have to go even further than that. The Venice Carnival was postponed at the weekend. It's also Fashion Week in Milan. That has been, it's a lot of the shows there have had to be closed and sort of just put streamed online instead of sort of the big occasion that they usually are. So Italy is definitely sort of feeling it more than most. Juventus had 11% wiped off of their share price yesterday because of the crisis.
And Mark, the disease is starting to spread throughout Europe, though. Do we know, is there any contingency plans in place for the Champions League or other fixtures around Europe that might be affected?
No, I was joking with a Liverpool fan just at the weekend, actually, that may have to cancel the season completely and just deny Liverpool just the Premier League title.
Don't say that to Marion Barks, she'll go crazy.
Yeah, it would. no, there isn't at the moment, but I think that it is something that could actually become more serious. Ruby, of course, will remember when the Cheltenham Festival had to be called off for 1 year because of the foot and mouth. And, you know, there's not much you can do. You know, sport becomes just a bit part, really, in a much bigger situation. I mean, even down to the fact where there were Valencia fans that went to the game last week in Milan against Atalanta. Some of them that have travelled back from Italy are now showing signs of the coronavirus, so it could be heading to Spain. We've already I think there's been one confirmed now in Barcelona, and Wolves fans are travelling to Barcelona for their game on Thursday in the Europa League. So at the moment I think the football authorities are you know, just waiting and seeing. But you could, I mean, it wouldn't be, I think, beyond the sort of realms of possibility if there was suddenly, you know, no away fans travelling to certain matches or something like that. I we're not at that stage yet, but I don't think it can be totally ruled out at this stage.
Mark, do you think we could see even more what's going on in Serie A with behind closed doors games?
I wouldn't be amazed if that happened, because you know, it's a way of at least keeping the kind of the show on the road in terms of playing the sport. I don't like that situation, really. I mean, that Juventus versus Inter game, you know, to not have any fans inside the stadium. I mean, the fans are what make the kind of the football and the sport, aren't they? So if you started playing loads of matches with no fans there, I mean, I'm not sure it would become much of a spectacle whatsoever. I suppose, you know, the UEFA are just waiting and seeing and hoping that it calms down, and they don't want to make too many sort of, you know, wild decisions at the moment, which is probably the right thing to do. I remember when the ash cloud came over, they actually made Barcelona play that game against Inter, and the Barcelona team had to travel by bus to Milan to play the game. They lost 3-1 and they went out of the Champions League. So even if you remember when the Borussia Dortmund bus was the subject of a bomb attack, they made them play the next day against Monaco. So UEFA are not in the business, really, of cancelling football matches in the Champions League unless it is absolutely necessary. So I think they'll do everything possible to make sure these games go ahead with fans or without.
I'm sure Real Madrid would have been wishing their game last weekend with Levante was called off, and definitely Eden Hazard, looks like he broke his ankle.
Yeah, I mean, this could be absolutely devastating in terms of the European Championship. We're already seeing, you know, a number of key players, Memphis Depay for Holland, Harry Kane for England, are rated doubtful now for the European Championship. And Eden Hazard, Roberto Martinez, the Belgian manager, has claimed that he is out for the rest of the season. Real Madrid have moved to say that that's not absolutely definite yet, and they're waiting to see whether Hazard needs surgery. If he does, that will probably rule him out for the rest of La Liga season, which runs until almost the end of May anyway. And then it's the European Championships coming up in mid-June. They're talking about potentially 3 months out, which, you know, he's quite a fit boy, Hazard, and, you know, he maybe be able to get back, and, you know, Belgium maybe even think that they wouldn't need him for the group stage and that they could just have him for the knockouts. But it would be a huge blow to Belgium if Hazard you know, didn't play. They've already got problems at the back with Vertonghen and company, age catching up with both of those. One of the favourites for the competition, probably not in the best of shape at the moment, I would say.
And moving on to Bayern Munich, they seem like they're a happier camp, and they can thank their manager Hansi Flick for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I heard you speaking to Ray earlier, you know, about the potential for goals in this game. And I think that Hansi Flick has done a brilliant job, really, of just getting everybody on side. When he was appointed as the caretaker coach, it wasn't expected to be for very long. You had people like Pochettino being linked with a job, Max Allegri, who left Juventus, kind of, you know, some of the biggest names in European football. And Hansi Flick was seen very much as just the caretaker. And then then the players actually really warmed to his ideas and his approach and the way that he was going about things. Thomas Muller, one of the players, said that it was the difference between him and Kovac was that it's a bit like when he goes shopping and his wife gives him a list of things that he needs to make the perfect dinner. He can come back with all of those ingredients. If he's left to his own devices, he usually comes back with a load of rubbish. And the idea being that Hansi Flick is his attention to detail. He tells the players exactly what they need to do. Karl-Heinz Rummenigge has said he's like a mixture of Pep Guardiola and Louis van Gaal. You've had people like Jupp Heynckes, one of the real legends of Bayern Munich, saying that he thinks that Hansi Flick is kind of a coach for the ages and is somebody that could go down in folklore at Bayern Munich. And he's only been in the job a couple of months. He was on the backroom team when Germany won the World Cup. He's now been given this chance in the limelight. It's a big game for him as well. You know, he's older than Frank Lampard. He's in his 50s, but never kind of managed a game of this magnitude either. So really interested to see how he does. But stylistically, he certainly looks like a good fit at the moment for Bayern Munich. The one caveat to that is that he hasn't lost too many matches yet. And I think you probably find out more about a coach and a leader, you know, once you hit a few problems. It's easy once you're winning every week to, you know, kind of be on the side of the players. So let's wait and see what happens at Stamford Bridge tonight.
Time will tell. Thanks a million, Mark. Enjoy your evening.
Game on 2FM. Weekdays from 6.